Today I want to talk about how to have an opportunity, or we all need an opportunity. When I'm going to my house, down the street from my house, there is a community basketball court. And every time you're driving down, there's a bunch of guys playing pickup basketball. And they're always, you know, having a good time. A lot of cars parked there. And they all have the same, pretty much maybe close to the skill level is pretty much probably the same, right? But I imagine, I'm like, okay, these guys are out there basketball. What if you had a professional basketball player put into that mix? Say, who? Maybe Antonio, give me one. Kevin Durant? Okay. All right, so putting Kevin Durant among those guys. What's going to be the default? If Kevin Durant owns one team, what's going to happen? Every guy on that is going to totally depend on him to win that game. They're going to pass the ball to him. They're going to let him dominate. They're going to let him have it all. Why? Because he is the professional, right? And everyone else is going to step back. It doesn't become a team effort now. It becomes a one-man show. Why? Because a professional has showed up. How many know that it's not different from how, for the longest time, church has been done? Where we gather and there is always, we don't want to call them professional, but you understand they're professional, right? They're the stars, you know? They hold everything down and everyone else defaults to them. And it's always about talent, right? And we say, well, they're talented and I'm not. For the longest time, I think we as Christians in general have struggled with the thing that says, you know, I am a Christian, but you know what? What is my talent? What has God called me to do? Look, maybe I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing. What can I do? A lot of people struggle with that. I don't know what my talent is. If you ask the average Christian, if you took a poll among Christians that go to churches today, whether large or small, you find probably about 10% or 20% at most that actually can tell you what their talent and gifting is. 80% of people that showed up in churches Sunday morning have no clue what their talent or gifting or calling is. So a lot of us struggle with that thing. Like, I don't know what has God called me to do? I don't know. And I want to say the fact that a lot of people don't know what their calling or their talent or their gifting is, it is not your fault. It is not the fault of the average Christian not to know what their calling or talent is. The fault is how we as a church for the longest time have done church in general. We have put emphasis on the vocal gifts. We say, well, if you can talk and you can preach and you can sing, yes, you have a gift. And we think that that's all there is, preachers and pastors and teachers, you know, and that's what they do. So if I can't do that, because not everybody can teach, not everybody can preach, not everybody can sing, ask me, then what else can I do? Who am I? What has God called me to do? I hear this thing about you are the body of Christ. Okay, I'm part of the body, but what part of the body am I? Are you tracking with me? So we have this general way, the motto that we've all done, church, including Winning Christian Center. The way we've done it for the longest time is we only cater to the gifts that are vocal gifts, the gifts that can do that, and everyone else is left untaken care of. And that is why every minister today, if you look at the church at large, you can think in your mind, all these biggest preachers that you know, everywhere, if you think about it, most of all these ministries rest on the shoulders of the pastor, the preacher, the superstar, they carry the Lord. Where 10, 80% do all the work,
But the question is, what about the 80% of God's people? Are we going to be under the assumption that God never gave them anything? Are we going to be under the assumption they were never called, they were never gifted, God never put anything in them? It's because the model that we have adopted only says, well, the pastor, his team, his stuff, carry it all and take it all on. And we end up with too much information with less transformation. And that is a problem because, you know, how could somebody, okay, football, people say this, I was a part of a message, but I'm going to throw it out there. You know, we're greeting and people are like, yeah, football season has started. Some people won't come to church. I'm like, how can somebody be in church for 10 years and still put football before Jesus? Yeah. Like, why? Too much information, less transformation. Because of the model we do church, people still put anything else above God. And we have to think, is this how it's supposed to be? Absolutely not. So my point today that I want to say today is that there are more gifts in the body of Christ, in the church, than the vocal gifts. There's more gifting and calling and talent that God has given his people more than preaching or singing or teaching. There is more. But unless we change how we do things, unless we go back to what the Bible teaches how to do things, we'll never realize the rest of the gifting, the calling that God has put in his people. So let's go to the scriptures this morning. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 28. Here is what Paul said. There are more gifts. And this is what he says. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Now, I think each of you is part of the body of Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. And the Bible says, here's some parts that God has appointed for the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak unknown languages. So there are more gifts, as you can see, according to the Bible, right? It goes ahead to say, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now think about that. The human body has many parts. So if you say, take an example, you know, so human body, body of Christ. If I was, had my hands developed, but my legs were not developed, I would need special care. If my legs were developed, but my hands were not, I would need special care. If by any chance my ears were not developed that I couldn't hear, I would need special care. If any part of my body wasn't developed, it would not take in the life that my body generates, so it would need special care. Are you understanding me? Do you know that churches thrive on offering special care to the 80%. Churches thrive by focusing on how to offer 80% the special care to the 80%. Many times you pull up to a church, if it's raining, you're going to find people with vests out there, with umbrellas out there. Make sure you don't get a drop of rain on you. They walk you in front door, take your kids, give you coffee and muffin and everything you need to eat, and make you sit down and give you an entertainment and make experience that is awesome. Smoke machines, have a great experience. Take your offering, bless you, let you go, and figure out how to get you back in the seats next Sunday and do it all over again, because they got to give you some special care. When is the last time you've gone to a game and there were folks out there waiting to walk you from your car to the stadium? People People do it. They walk, they park a mile and walk. But you can't, they say you can't do that because we got to people special care if we want people to come and sit and fill our church and have great experience. Why? Because we have a body where only part of us is developed and the other part is not developed. Now, this is hot talk, but I want you to think that this is, I'm not talking about other churches, I'm talking about our church. We also been in the same thing. We struggle from the same thing, and God is trying to help us really rearrange our thinking and really get back to the biblical ways of doing church, not the way we've adopted doing church, and do it God's way so we can see more transformation of lives. The scripture says here in 1 Corinthians 12:28, some God, you know, maybe 27, it says, all of you is part of it. Everyone, it says, you know, some of you have not only pastors and teachers and apostles, but hey, there's some who can do miracles. He says, some of you have been gifted to with healing. Some of you have been gifted to help others. Some of you are administrators. Some of you are leaders. Some of you can speak in tongues. But when is the last time you've been in church and seen all that? Why? Because when we come, we put emphasis on these other gifts, and the other gifts are never developed, never get an opportunity. If God has given you a gift of healing, how will you ever know if you never have the opportunity to do that? If God has given you a gift of helps, how will you ever know? If all we care about is the teacher and the singer, when will you ever know? So we have to say, you know, what does the Bible says? We're trying to go back to what the scripture tells us. Now, Paul makes the same argument because this is really important. In 1 Corinthians 12:29, this is what Paul said. He says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? But that's how church is all built on that. Tell me one church where it's not hinged on the gift of one of that. As a matter of fact, that we have so many where it's John to Shabby Ministries. You understand? It's johntoshabby.com. Because they take the person, build and everything on it. The last time I checked in the Bible, I did not see paulministries.com. Come on. I know this is hard, and some of you are like, what is he talking about? No, this is what I'm talking about. Right? So we're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be prophets. We're not all called to be teachers. But he says, are we all called to perform miracles? No. Are we all called to have the gift of healing? No. Ability to speak? No. Do we all have the ability to interpret? No. Of course not. That means that I have what you don't have. You have what you don't have. I have what you don't have. So if it's built on one particular ministry gift, it's built on the teacher, right? Then guess what? If that teacher can't perform miracles, then there'll be no miracles happening. Why? Because the person that God gifted to do miracles has never had the opportunity to bring that to the body. If it's built on a teacher and there's somebody gifted to speak in tongues and interpret tongues by God, they will never bring that to the body because they never got the opportunity to do that to the body. So we have a body that is not completely developed because we only have specific callings and gifts that we've put emphasis on. So, as you think about that, do you see there's a need for us to go back to the Bible blueprint? Do you see there's a need for us to ask ourselves serious questions? To ask ourselves, I am a Christian, but is it good enough to be a Christian? Am I experiencing God's power in my life? Is God's word changing me? Or am I just caught up being a religious person with a Christian religion? They show up, but without transformation in my life. You see, I want you to think deeply about this because we're committed here. You know, we're like, you know, we need to go back to the Bible blueprint. We're not trying to do something new. We're trying to discover who God has called
be.
Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each that has a college degree. A spiritual gift is given to each that was raised in a Christian family. A spiritual gift is to each who's been a Christian for 10 years. No. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Think about that. So that we can do what? Help each other. But Cain, when is the last time you knew your gift or could tell someone's gift? Yet the Bible says each of us has received a gift. How come we're not getting your gift to everybody else? Why? Because it's not your fault. You don't know your gift. Why? Because you never given an opportunity to discover and find what your gift was. Because the way we do things is we're looking for those who can teach and preach and sing. But that's not all there is that God has given. So he says a gift is, so the moment you come to Jesus, guess there's a gift. Immediately God puts, the moment you align your heart to God, the moment you say, you are my Savior, I give you my heart, he says, there's your gift. So it's in there. It may be dormant, but it's in there. So he says, to each was given us a gift. Therefore, if it is everybody got a gift, why are we operating like 80% have no gift? What do you think the church would be like if at least 80% operated in their gifts? Right? Maybe we wouldn't be rushing out of here. Wouldn't feel like, you know, we'll be rushing out of here. We'll be coming late. I mean, it would be like revival in the house. There'll be revival. You know what I'm saying? You think about revival, that is revival. When people begin to find out what their spiritual gifting is and start walking in it. Versus having 20% carry everything, but having, at least, just imagine if just 80%, if this thing was flipped upside down and ministry was running 80% of the gifts, think about that. Think about what could happen. Think about how many lives and people could be touched and changed. So this scripture says spiritual gift is given to each. So the good news is if you're here in the sound of my voice, it doesn't matter your college degree. It doesn't matter what family you come from. It doesn't matter what con job you do. It doesn't matter whether you're a manager or you're a janitor. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a Christian family or not. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, best on that, it says you got a gift. Everybody got a gift. Right? And here's the thing. But grace was given to what? Each one. Think about, God didn't say, I'm choosing a future giver. He said, each one. Each of us. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know how messed up I am. Yes, you messed up, but you got a gift. You know how much I struggle? Yes, you struggle, but you got a gift. Oh, you don't know what my attitude is? Yes, you got an attitude, but you have a gift. Right? Each of us has a gift according to the measure of Christ's gift. So Christ says, you come to him and says, I give you a gift. So think about that. You have a gift, man. It's in you. So then it goes ahead to say, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. But the question is, when has been the last time you've been to church and actually somebody else wasn't the preacher spoke to you a word of wisdom? When's the last time it wasn't the preacher that gave you knowledge? When was the last time? Because we're not doing the right way. It goes ahead to say the same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. What if we were able to create an environment where gifts could flow, then we find actually there's a brother or a sister, God has given a gift of healing. So next time you're sick, you don't be like, I'm not coming to church, I'm sick. No, I'm going to church to get healed. Amen. Amen. You get a lot of like, I'm sick, I ain't coming to church. What if actually gifts of healing were developed? I'm like, I'm sick, I gotta go to church. Because there's somebody with what? Man, you see that? It would change everything. It would change everything, ladies and gentlemen, if we just say, let's start going back to biblical truth, right? And then it says, he gives one person the power to perform miracles. I don't know who it is, but somebody has that gift. To another, the ability to prophesy. Someone else, the ability to discern whether the message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Paul is saying there are many gifts. That's why the early church did not do church like we do church. They didn't go through three songs, announcement, a 45-minute message, offering, bless you, go home, do it again. What we have today is what we do. That's what we do. Where you will be like, yeah, he's been part of our church for 25 years. He's always been a faithful Christian. He's raised his family well. He's always given to the church. Now he's dead. He's gone to be with the Lord. We just bless him to be absent in the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But for the 25 years, all he did was sit in the pew. And listen, and he goes to stand before God, and God said, I gave you a gift of prophecy, but the ministry did not give you the opportunity to bring that gift to life. I gave you a gift of wisdom, but all you had to do was sit and listen to a preacher, and you went home for 25 years. You raised your family well. You were a good man. But this was what I wanted you to do for me. Because I put my gift in you, but my gift is coming back without any results. God is going to hold us accountable, especially as pastors and teachers who have really hogged the platform and not allowed other gifts to grow and manifest and develop. So we don't want your gift to you to go before the Lord and find out, oh man, I had a gift of healing, but never prayed for anybody to get healed. But how did you know? You never knew you had it. It's because of how we've done things for the longest time, and it's important for us to be like, what does the Bible says? Let's go back. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the early church, like I say, that's why they did church small. The early church met in houses, small community. Why? Because when they gathered together and there were five in a house and 10 in the house, the gifts were able to flow. They were not looking at the specific gifted, cold, powerful. No, they all sat together and the gifts of God began to flow. Because that's why they did community. That's why you read the book of Acts and say, or the church in the house of so, and they went from house to house. And why? Because it was all about creating a community that would allow the gifts of God to be discovered and developed. And once they developed, then they could be utilized and everybody could benefit from that and grow in that. So if you're wondering why we are pushing for community, this is it. Because I want to do my part that when you've done, that you had the opportunity in your community, in your group, in this Christ-centered communities we're building, that you had the opportunity to hopefully find what your gift was and grow in it and develop in it. I remember when the pastor saw that I had a gift to speak or teach, the first time I got it, I had 5 minutes. I mean, I could only do 5 minutes. My knees were having some hagging and fellowship going on. And because I did that, and I was like, oh man, I was sweating. I was like, oh, that was hard. Then he's like, again, next month. Then I did it again. Now the knees were still hugging each other, you know. And he's like, okay, do it again. And it was time after time after time. I was getting opportunity. But when I started, man, it was not there. But he saw it. He said, again and again and again and again, years after years. He was like, there's a gift in you. I'm like, no, I don't have one. No, there is a receipt. No, I don't have it. No, you see it. Go do it. So he gave me the opportunity. I didn't see the opportunity. I didn't see the gift, but he gave me the opportunity. And as the time went on, I began getting a little more comfortable. Then it's like, now you're comfortable. Go with the youth. We can't put you up in the adults. The youth can handle all your whatever. Just go with the youth, you know, because everyone trains on the youth. So put me back in the youth and work with the youth and try to grow and develop this gift. And that's how we've done it. We keep developing, giving opportunity to those who can speak and teach, and they grow out of their nervousness and they get there. That is the same opportunity that the other gifts need. Amen. The gifts of healing. They need to practice laying hands on. And say, oh, yeah, you just prayed for me. I feel better. Oh, maybe there's a gift there. Let's give you more opportunity to pray for healing. Who said the pastor got to pray for healing for everybody? What if the pastor has no gift of healing? What if there's a brother in the church that has a gift of healing? What do we let him pray? Oh, you got to have the man of God. Oh, the man of God has to lay hands on you. That's how, why, because it is almost like this job security that we've put in the body of Christ. So we need to allow each other to kind of have that environment to try to find what our gifts are in community with one another. And everybody, if you care about this, you have to say, I want to fight for God. I need to be part of community because I need to know what God has put inside of me. If God has given me wisdom, he's given me knowledge, I need to be able to do that. So every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, you need an opportunity. That's what you need. You need an opportunity. And there's no better place to find an opportunity more than in a place of 2, 3 brothers, 4 sisters that you pray together, you talk together, you just talk and their words will come forth. And whatever God has put will get the opportunity to be developed so that we can experience what God has called us to do. Listen to me. God is beginning something new in us here. He's not doing something new in general. What we're trying to do has always been, but he's doing something new in us. Okay? And some groups are really thriving. I mean, I was on the prayer line just Wednesday. I'm telling you, I kept quiet. And people are like, are you still there, Pastor? I'm like, yeah, yeah. I'm just taking it in. Because the words I heard that people were speaking into each other were deep. I was like, man, that is really great. And I was enjoying it. But here's the thing. God is doing something new. And right now we're like crawling. In our communities, we're trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to work our schedules out. We're trying to fight this. We're trying to stay engaged. We're trying to figure this thing out of what God is doing. But let me ask you, if we're crawling, who says we won't be able to walk? If we're crawling, who says we won't be able to run? You see, once we keep pressing through this and really saying, this is God's will, communities, that's what God has called, this is how they did by, this is how we're going to do it. I'm telling you, there'll be a day when something, a fire starts inside of you, ignites everyone else. And I'm telling you, we're about to see revival because we have aligned with God's plan.